Jesus. Hallelujah. That's Jesus in Spanish, I think, right? Yes, okay. I don't know. I'm just winging it as we go. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
God bless all of you that made an attempt to come today. So now that you're here, be all here. Amen? Yeah? Very cool. All right, so today I'll be talking about what I've been talking about, more about the kingdom of God. All right? Is that okay? Only today I'm going to be talking about the kingdom and its function, meaning what exactly is this whole kingdom that we're in all about? What is the purpose of the kingdom of God, and how is it supposed to work? Are you with me? All right. So just to give you a definition of the word function, it simply means it's the natural activity or purpose. So what is the purpose of the kingdom of God? And that has to go to basically, I believe, why you were created. Did you guys ever ask that question to yourself? Why am I even here? Why am I even doing this? What is my purpose in life? Anybody ever asked that? One of the biggest questions, you know, I'm serious. You don't have to raise your hands, but I'm serious. One of the biggest questions is what's my purpose? What's my purpose in life? What am I really supposed to be doing? So I'm going to take us back to the very beginning in Scripture to show you what the purpose for you is and why you're created. That's kind of cool, right? Last week I was talking about keys to the kingdom, and keys can forbid or bind or lock things up, or they can loose or permit or unlock things to happen in our lives, correct? Well, in the very beginning of God, in Genesis 1:26, God started to lay out why you, everybody say me, why you were created. And so let's go to Scripture here. In Genesis 1:26, I'm reading King James Version here. I like it in this version, but I can't understand it. You guys catch that, right? Yeah. Sometimes it's all about the Message or the Passion or the New Living, but in this one, I can understand it. You know, King James, I can't understand this one. Yeah, the one verse. Help us, Jesus. But it says, "And God said, let us make man," that's us, right? Mankind, "in our image, after our likeness." Now here's what it says, "and let them," that's you, "have dominion," meaning let you have rulership, authority over what? All of the stuff that's been created on earth. So that's saying that, you know what? Why were you created? You were created in the likeness of God to have Godship, if you will, over creation here. A rulership, a kingdomship, an authority over what's here. So I want you to get this, okay? We talk about heaven. I'm going to tell you that the earth that we know right here, right now, is a type and shadow of heaven, right? Let me explain. So one of the definitions of heaven is paradise. You've heard that before? Jesus said, "Today you will be with me." He said it to the thief on the cross. "Today you will be with me in paradise," right? Heaven is defined as paradise. What was the Garden of Eden defined as? Paradise. All right, so in the very beginning, God created mankind, us, to have a dominion, a rulership and authority over all of creation down here. And then Jesus comes on scene and he says, you know, people are asking Jesus, how do we pray? And he says, pray like this, that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, it once was being done, then the fall of man happened, and we lost it all to Satan, but Jesus came back, redeemed us, put us back into the right position so that we now have this rulership back again as a believer in this realm, heaven on earth. Does any of that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So why were you created? You were created to take care of this very place that you live in. That is why you were created. You were created so that you can look at the beauty and the glory of God with your eyes, your God-given eyes, out there, and you can say, oh, wow. I think it's in Romans 1 that says, nobody is without excuse to deny God because all they have to do is look at creation. All you got to do is look at creation to see the beauty of God and the glory of God. Oh, my gosh. I got up this morning, and I walked outside, and I'm right standing on the river, and I'm like, whoo. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, it was cool, right? If you're feeling down, try this. Try just getting yourself back out into God's creation. Maybe that will help. I know there's a lot of different things that we can do, but maybe that's one thing to help you. God is looking at all of his creation, the animals, the creepy crawly things, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He gave us authority over all of that, right? And he's saying, this is just amazing stuff. But because I've created you in my likeness and image, I want you to have now this rulership down there. See, God didn't name the animals on the earth. Adam did. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was the creation of God, mankind, that was the people that named all of creation down here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Think about it. He gave us trees, right? He didn't give us tables and chairs, but the tables and chairs were hidden in the trees. Do you see what I'm saying? All things are created by God, right? He didn't give us automobiles, but the automobiles that we now have were hidden in the mountains, in the ore and the iron that mankind took out because we took authority of what God gave us to create things down here as well. There's a rulership that we have, but we lose sight of it because maybe we're narrow focused at times. We're not really looking at this bigger picture, you know? And it's just so amazing to me to go, wow, that is so cool that God loves me so much. You want to talk about grace? God loves us so much that he brought us back into this position of authority. Amen. Think about that. That's grace. This isn't the authority. Now, I've said this before, but I must relate this again. He did not give us authority over mankind. He said, have dominion over the cattle, the birds, the fish, and every creepy crawly thing. But he didn't say have dominion over other people. That's our Heavenly Father, right? So the only one that could bring us back right with our Heavenly Father wasn't the sacrifice of animals, because that's what we had dominion over. It was the sacrifice of humankind itself, Jesus Christ. And that is grace, man. Oh, that's good stuff. But because of that, he put us back into this position. Say, I'm in position. Everybody born and created is in a position to do something amazing. The only thing is sometimes we think amazing is far bigger than what the little thing that we're doing. But I'm here to tell you that the little thing maybe that you're doing adds up. It's a treasure chest of things that we have in life. Last week I talked a lot about perspective, how we see things. When we start to look at people knowing that they are the creation of God and I have no rulership over them, amen, we're going to treat them differently. Yes, sir. All right, but when I start looking at animals knowing that I have rulership over them, but I'm also to be a good steward of them, I'm going to treat that. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like outdoorsmen, people that hunt and fish. But I'm here to tell you the reason why there are so many animals out there that are flourishing is because of the outdoorsmen, because they have taken the stewardship position to manage wildlife well. I'm telling you. If you don't believe me, look it up, okay? I'm just saying. So as we go on, I have another question that I ask myself. How are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to? So why are we created? We're created to have dominion. Now, how are we supposed to exercise this rulership or this authority that we have? It's a good question, right? Yeah. Everybody wants to know the how or the why. Well, I think this is a good start to the how and why. This is more of the keys that God has given us. And the answer is just two verses away in Genesis 1:28. And it says, "And God blessed them." I just stop right there for a second. The first part of anything good that happens in life down here, heaven on earth, is from the blessing of God. All right? Number one. All right? That's huge. God blessed them. Then he said to them, this is what he said to them. Number one, be fruitful. Number two, multiply. Number three, replenish or fill the earth. And number four, subdue it. And then it says, and have dominion over. And it repeats it again. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of the land, and all the creepy crawly things. He says it twice. But he gave us the answer. He said, first, be fruitful. Then multiply. Then fill it up or replenish it. And then subdue it. Those are the steps. Now, in reading this, many times this is where people will go. Well, the word fruitful, that means you got to have a lot of babies. Right? No. Be fruitful and multiply. Have babies, multiply, and spread the humankind all over earth. That is how many people think about this, right? But that would mean that people who don't have babies are inferior to people who do have babies. That would also mean that Abraham wasn't that fruitful. Come on. Think about it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, be fruitful and multiply, but Abraham has two sons, one illegitimately and then one that goes on and brings great things. Here's the true definition of fruitful. And hopefully this brings some understanding. Fruitful simply means to produce or be productive. In other words, when you go to the fruit and lettuce department at the grocery store, what do they call that? The produce department. Why do they call the fruit area the produce department? Because fruit means to produce. It means to be productive. So what's the number one thing in order to take dominion back? What's the number one thing? Be productive. Be a productive person. I'm not even going to say be a productive part of society. I'm just saying be a productive person. In whatever it is that you do, be productive, okay? Breaking this down, the second part says multiply. Multiply's definition simply means to reproduce or be productive again and again. I was once productive, now I'm going to be productive again and again and again. Good. It's like when you go to work and you're a good worker. Your fruit of the day was the good work that you did. The next day you wake up, when you go back to work, you reproduce the good work that you did the day before. And now you're reproducing. And when you go to work and you keep reproducing good work day in and day out, you're now an honorable person. You're now somebody that they look at and go, this is the individual that can get the job done. This is the individual that I want to have a raise. This is the individual that's going to get the vacation when nobody else is getting the vacations. Amen. Why? Because they're seeing the fruit. And you're now taking authority of your area. Yes, it is by actions that you're doing, but it's so cool. I'm not talking about salvation, accepting Christ. I'm talking about what you do now in the kingdom. Now that you've accepted Christ in this kingdom, I'm going to produce something, and I'm going to reproduce it over and over and over again. Now, if you're reproducing junk, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result, right? That's not good. But when it's doing things that are right, man, things change. So the third part is replenish or fill. Now, that definition can simply be explained. Those words, fill the earth or replenish, right, can simply be explained as distribution. Get it out, right? So the third key to success is having domination, dominion on earth is to be productive. Reproduce what you just produced. And now get it out. Spread it out. See, I'm going to take this to Jesus, and I'm going to show you these are the keys that he showed us, and exactly what is saying right in the beginning is exactly what he told us to do. And I'll give you a line in Scripture for it as well. But it is so cool, because why would Jesus be saying these things? Because Jesus is saying the same thing that his Father said in the very beginning, only now as the Savior, he came to show us how to do it again.
Amen.
Processes over and over. The fourth part is subdue, which simply means rule, dominate, to take it to a secular term, have the corner of the market. So, I want to use an example so that we understand this a little bit clearer, okay? But before I go into the example, there's a very, very key word that I think we get confused on many times, because this word is so powerful that we're expecting something else and we get disappointed. Do you know what the word is? Power. The word's so powerful. The word's power, right? So people think a power is pretty cool, right? Power. You said if you use it right, that's good. That's good. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power, right? To be in the kingdom of God, we have power, right? Rulers of authority have power, right? And in the Greek, it's like dunamis power, dynamite power. It's just this explosive power. It's big, right? Power in a nutshell. I want to, hopefully you get this, because I want this to be so easy for you. I mean, just so easy for you. Power simply means ability. Meaning you're able to do something. So, with the Holy Spirit, God says you're able to lay hands on somebody and have God heal them through you. That takes a lot of the pressure off. Instead of going, ooh, I got power. No, you just have the ability, right? I have the ability to walk because I have two legs, and so I'm walking with my two legs because I have the ability to do it, right? I have the power. If I did not have these legs to walk like this, it would be the opposite. It would be powerless in the ability to walk. Unless you turn lemons into lemonade and then you get artificial limbs or whatever. When you get artificial limbs, say I had no legs, now all of a sudden I have the power to walk again. What I'm getting at is there's more than one way to be successful in life. It's just how you look at certain things. I'm going to share a story that happened to me just yesterday, okay? And I'm sharing my heart, so this always opens it up for criticism or different things. Yesterday morning, I got up. Saturday morning, didn't have to work or anything. I thought, you know what? I already had it pre-planned out. I'm going to mow the lawn because I've been letting it grow a little bit, and it needs to be mowed. I'm going to mow the lawn. Steph was taken off. She was going to be in a parade at Sawdust Festival in Hemlock, you know. And I thought, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to buy some things that I needed to purchase. So I had these plans, right? I'm going to mow the lawn and I'm going to go purchase some things. Well, when I woke up, the fog was so thick, you could cut it with a knife. I mean, we've had foggy mornings just about every morning, but yesterday morning, it was foggy, and that fog didn't leave at 9 a.m. It didn't leave at 10 a.m. I mean, that fog was hanging around, right? So here's the dilemma now. I had plans to cut the grass, and I was going to start it in the morning, only it was so wet outside, I couldn't mow the lawn. So the power or the ability to mow the lawn, I couldn't do, so I was powerless in that moment. So then I thought, well, I could probably go get my shopping done and mow later. See, I had a wedding to go to later in the day, so I didn't have the full day to just do whatever. And in the process of that, I called my wife and I said, hey, when you were driving to Hemlock, how were the roads? She goes, oh, it's really foggy. And I looked out and I thought, yeah, it is. So here's the deal. I'm at a place right now with my eyes. It's not safe for me to be on the road for anybody and drive. So when it's real thick fog like that, I don't drive. And I'm just now coming to that realization. So I was going to go shopping. I was going to mow the lawn. I couldn't mow the lawn because the grass was wet, and I couldn't drive because I couldn't see. And so I felt very powerless. The ability to do those, I had a truck and all that, but I felt very powerless. And that's a really bad place to be. Anybody ever feel powerless before? Yeah. You know? So I was talking to my wife, and she said, well, you know what you could do? And I'm thinking, here we go, vacuum the house, clean the windows. I don't want to do none of that stuff. It's my day off. She said, well, I got a light bar for the Jeep. And we got this light bar for free. It was a gift to us. Another Jeeper handed it down to us. Thought, she says, you could install that. Okay. Now, I can do certain things, but I'm not super mechanically inclined, and I'm not super electrically inclined. But I went out there to tackle this. Long story short, I put this light bar on, and when I flipped the switch, the lights came on. You know, I even put the wire through the firewall and all this other stuff. But what happened is this powerless feeling that I was having now came to, I felt very powerful and rejoicing, because although what I wanted to do I couldn't do, I did something else that actually made me feel more powerful than the other, because I accomplished something that I normally can't do or attempt to do. So you may have something that comes up in your life, is what I'm getting at, where you had these plans to do something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I can't do it, and you feel hopeless or helpless or powerless. And the thing is sometimes you need to look at something else in a different way, maybe just a different perspective. At the moment, I was thinking, man, this is horrible. God, I wish my eyes were better so I could drive. Different things like that, right? But yet, it got all turned around, and the day was absolutely amazing. And what happened? The fog lifted. Not only did I put the light bar on, I went to the store and got what I had to get, and I also mowed the front part of the lawn. You know, everything worked out. Just didn't work out in my time. But I walked in power yesterday. Amen. I didn't allow it to just totally take me out. So, who likes power? Who would like some power in your life? I would. So what happens is I got to start applying. If I want power, I need to start applying the keys to the kingdom. I need to start looking at things a little bit differently. I have to use wisdom and apply or have application in what I know. So I know that I shouldn't worry about things, so I'm not going to worry about my vision. I know I should not be anxious for stuff, so I'm not going to be anxious in that. I'll talk to my wife, who will give me wise counsel. It's cool stuff. So, recap: fruit is to produce, multiply is to reproduce, replenish is to distribute, subdue is to rule or dominate, corner of the market. Now to the example. Who in here? Now this, I want participation. It's just a hand raise. Who in here has ever heard of McDonald's? Even the little kids are raising hands. Ah, your Happy Meal, right? McDonald's. Now this is how a company, I don't know if McDonald's founder is Christian or not, but they use the keys in this kingdom. They use principles of God. Here's what they did. McDonald's came up with a cheeseburger called the Big Mac. Are you with me? They produced, their fruit was they produced this Big Mac. The Big Mac sold, so they reproduced the Big Mac, and the Big Mac continued to sell. So they produced it, they reproduced it, they reproduced it, they reproduced it, they reproduced it, they kept reproducing it. The Big Mac was the same every single time. It was what people wanted, and they thought, wow, now we need to take this and distribute it. So now everywhere around the world, there's McDonald's. And everywhere around the world in these McDonald's, they all sell Big Macs. And everywhere around the world in the McDonald's, the Big Mac that you buy in Ethiopia versus the one in the United States is the same Big Mac. That is exactly what God was saying here, only in a business mind frame. How many entrepreneurs do I have in here? How many young kids want to be business owners someday? If you want to be successful in your business, take these keys and use these keys. I'm going to produce something, and then I'm going to reproduce it, and then I'm going to distribute it. And what happens? McDonald's is the only place that sells a Big Mac. They have the corner of the market, which means they have dominated the market in the area of a Big Mac because nobody else has it, which means what? They have power. That is pretty cool. They have the ability, right? That's just one example. We can do it in our life as well. We can do it with raising a family. We have the produce, our offspring, the children. Maybe we reproduce, right? But if we're not reproducing another kid, what we also want to do is reproduce in them good habits, moral attributes, good characteristics, right? So we reproduce this in our kids. How? We reproduce it in them by us having the fruit of that and continually sowing it into them. It's the same thing. And then as that happens, it gets distributed because now all of a sudden they're amazing in what they do, and they have kids, and then they train their kids up again in the way they should go. Everybody's looking at you guys over there. What's going on? Big spider? It's God's creation, so how are we going to handle this? Everybody on Facebook is watching. Oh, that is a really big spider. I would say kill it. Kill it. That is so big, it's got hair on it. I'm telling you, if that spider's big enough to run across the carpet and I can see it, that don't belong. That was cool. They took dominion. Did you see that? That was power. They had the ability to get it, and they did. Power at work. I love it. Get the smelling salts. Oh, my goodness. Randy's still outside. Lisa, go help him. Hey, those of you on Facebook, that spider was this big. About that big. It was big. Tarantulas, and they don't even have those in Michigan. Who brought that in? I know it came in somebody's purse. Who just got back from Arizona? Carol? No, you haven't gone yet. Yeah, I'm telling you what. Wow. Is it clear what I was talking about as far as McDonald's?
Crystal.
Crystal. All right, good learners. There you go. Okay, so Jesus, remember we talk about Jesus, he laid a foundation based on these same keys. Jesus' foundation that he laid for us is based on be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, dominate, right? And this is how it goes. Matthew 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus arrived in the villages at Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, I read this last week, what are people saying about who the Son of Man is? And they replied, some think he is John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Verse 15, he pressed them, and how about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back. God bless you. Now, if I remember correctly, in verse 28, when he was laying out how we're supposed to have dominion, how we're supposed to have rulership down here, it said, and God blessed them. Whoa. And then all of a sudden it says, Jesus says, God bless you. Simon, son of Jonah, you didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. Verse 18, and now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. So expansive, the church distributed, so expansive, with energy, ability, power. So Jesus right here says, bless you. What'd he do? He blesses the church. He said, I'm going to make it so expansive and so full of power that not even the gates of hell can come near it. They can't even penetrate it.
Amen. Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like we were just talking about in verse 28 of Genesis 1:28? I'm like, wow, okay, so this is good, Lord, I'm thinking to myself. So the rock, as I was sharing last week, the rock isn't the man Peter himself, it's the revelation that Peter had. And his revelation was the fruit. His revelation that Jesus Christ is the Lord, Jesus Christ is our Savior, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the church is built on, that revelation. That is the fruit, that is the product.
Amen.
Jesus told us to take this now and do what? In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he then said, take this revelation that I, Jesus Christ, am Lord and Savior, and you now take it out and make disciples. Reproduce. So the production is Jesus is Lord. You reproduce it by making disciples. And then do what? Go to all the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is that? Distribution. And then what now do you have? You have power to subdue the principalities and powers of darkness, Satan himself. It is the same principle. This is how Jesus told us to walk it out.
Amen.
You now are my church. You are my children. In you I trust to be good caretakers of what I have given you. I like it. I think it's
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
But he went on a little further and he said, wait a minute. You can't do any of this unless you have the ability. So he told them in Acts, he said, wait until you receive power, until you have the ability, until you have the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 1:4. And what happened as soon as they received the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2? 3,000 were added to the church that day. So, McDonald's produced a product, and they're worldwide, right? Let's think about this. There's, I think, one McDonald's in a 5-mile radius right now. From this church building, there's one McDonald's in a 5-mile radius on Gratiot. There's one in St. Charles, but you got to go 7 miles or 6 miles to get down there. There's one in Hemlock, but you got to go another 7 miles or so, 8 miles to get to that one. Within a 5-mile radius, there's one McDonald's. Are you with me? But in a 5-mile radius right here, there's about 5 churches. The church has taken this and they have learned how to reproduce and how to distribute and get it out. But I think the people many times aren't seeing who they are with the same purpose and priority. And that's what I'm trying to lay out today. Each and every one of us can apply these principles, and it may not have an immediate result right now. But if you do not grow weary in well-doing, and you continue to pursue pushing a good product, reproducing that, distributing it, teaching, training, whatever it may be, through others, and then you will have the ability to have power over that situation. God laid it out in the beginning. He brought Jesus back, preaching the kingdom of God is now here, lays it out again for our benefit and our knowledge. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. So ultimately, the church has dominated. And let's close in prayer. We have the ability. Father, I am so grateful for what you have given us and all that you do in our lives, Lord. Father, you've given us keys to see, I think, more clearer than we've ever been able to see. I know it's true for me. Father, I thank you that you've given us understanding. Lord, as your creation, I know there's nothing more that we want in life than to succeed. We want to be able to feel like we're living a fulfilled life. And Lord, I know that we fall short in that area many times. I know that we deal with situations. Father, you haven't created robots. You've given us all our own personal will. Father, the greatest thing anyone can do, I know, is to accept you. Father, I pray if there's someone who has never made you Lord and Savior of their life, Father, that they would make that decision. They would just come to you. They would humble themselves. They would come to the ends of what they can do on their own. And say, Lord, I know you are real. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and I believe that he died on the cross. Just simply ask him to come into your life, forgive you, and he's true, faithful, and just to do such a thing. Father, I thank you for my family that's here, the body of Christ, for we are one in the Spirit, Lord. I thank you that I heard the word game changer yesterday. Father, I thank you that you are a game changer in this thing called life. That you are changing our paths, our lives, Father. And Father, as long as we look to you, Lord, you make straight our ways. Father, I ask that you bless each and every person that is here and their families. For those who couldn't be here, those that are listening online, I thank you, Lord, that you just give them that special touch right where they're at. For our two sisters who aren't here, did a surgery, I thank you for rapid recovery and healing. You've given us the ability. You've given us the power, Lord. So, Father, we just declare supernatural healing upon Ruthie and Lynn right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, supernatural recovery. Father, we just glorify you on this day. We give you all the praise and glory. And all in agreement said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.